Okay, now, just for a warning, once again, as stated in the beginning of the message, I'm going to remind you, this message is a message with some pretty heavy content that is not appropriate for young ears. So, if you do have young ones about, once again, this is a reminder to be listening either to this message in private or get the young ones out of sound range, please. And in conclusion, I would like to end this complete message series with this thought. And I'm talking about, when I say complete message series, I'm talking about both marriage and sex. Let's start with the aspect of marriage. As we know, God meant marriage to be between one man and one woman. Now, that has never changed. Even Jesus said that. It was never meant to be so. He never changed that. Now, in this message, even though I preached quite a bit about multiple marriage, I just want people to know that is where my emphasis is, okay? My emphasis, though, is that we have gone far from the Bible. The fact that there are people out there that may be suffering because we have gotten so stuck on just one man, one woman, and say, well, you got to go back to the Garden of Eden. Excuse me, the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden, that's all good and fine and dandy with sugar candy. But the fact is that we've come far from the Garden of Eden. If we were still in the Garden of Eden, we'd all be running around naked. But we're not. We're not in our innocence. We fell because we were a bunch of big, rotten, dirty, buzzard sinners. And when we fell, we also messed up our body hormones because when we fell, our bodies deteriorated. Now, at that point, it also became necessary when our bodies deteriorated, our hormones deteriorated, our emotions deteriorated, it became necessary, and God allowed for that, as we saw in the law, for multiple wives. So he allowed for a law that said very clearly, if a man has two wives. So God permitted that. Now, it was very clear, and that law was never revoked. Now, so if you look at marriage, there was a biblical reason for multiple marriage. Only two reasons, though, that a person should have a multiple mate. One, if they could not afford, and we'll say in this modern age text, one, say they could not afford what they call an in vitro conception, what is today an in vitro conception or test tube child, or they could not afford to adopt a child and they want to continue the bloodline as God expects every family to do. Basically, procreation, to continue the bloodline of every family, at least with one child. God expects every family to continue the bloodline. Now, number two, the other biblical reason for a multiple mate was if the husband or wife got a serious health problem or injury or whatnot to where one of them could not perform sexually, and the other then would be at risk of fornication, and especially if it were the husband who would be, quote, spilling his seed on the ground, basically wasting it with masturbation. So that was the other biblical reason. Only two reasons for multiple mate. Other than that, it should be only one husband, one wife, period. Now, only two
grounds for divorce. One, which was too broad for this message, but I suggest you get it from our archives. It was a message that I preached very much myself, out of my own mouth, where I did a very in-depth study. It's called, Is It Biblical to Divorce on the Grounds of Is It Biblical to Divorce on the Grounds of Abuse? And once again, just like this message, it was prompted by somebody who asked that very question. And I answer that question. The answer is yes. If abuse is happening where it is imperiling the life of one of the people in that marriage, yes, divorce is warranted on that grounds. God would expect you to get out. Number two, the other biblical reason is the most obvious. Fornication / adultery, which are the same thing. They are both the same thing. Adultery and fornication are interchangeable words. Now, with that said, only two reasons for getting a multiple mate and two reasons for divorce. Now, that comes to the marriage part. Of course, we didn't talk about children because you don't marry a child. That's incest, which gets into the part about sex. We got into that because we were talking about the things that had to do with sex. Incest, which a lot of people, they misinterpret their scriptures, talking about mixed bathing, which had nothing to do with that. That had to do with incest. There is no, this mixed bathing thing, there's nothing wrong with a family getting into a swimming pool together, wearing their bathing suits. It would only be sinful if daddy goes over there and makes out with his daughter, or makes out with, or mama makes out with the son, or a sister makes out with a brother in the swimming pool. That's where it's sinful. But if they're all just swimming and they're having a good time and nobody's messing with nobody, there's no sin. Or if they're out in the lake swimming together, there's no sin. It's only when they're having sex. Okay? It's sex. It's the incest. That's what the sin, not the swimming suit. Then we got into the fact about clothing. How that certain clothes, the people nitpick about clothes. Well, it's not the clothes. It's not whether the man is wearing a Scottish kilt or a robe that looks like a dress. No. It has to do with, is he worshiping false gods? He could wear a dress all he wants, even if it's got lace on it. But if he's not worshiping a false god, and he's just got cloth on his body, and that's all he thinks of it as, and it keeps him cooler, hey, who gives a rip? And if a woman wants to wear a pair of blue jeans and a button-down t-shirt, who gives a rip? Okay, the key words in the one verse was modest apparel. As long as they're being modest and it's a long, loose-fitting garment, who gives a rip? If they're not showing off all their body, who cares? Now, then we talked about earrings in the same fashion. It's not the fact of jewelry, it's what they do with it. If they're not worshiping false gods, who gives a care? Then we talked about sex and periods with women. Once again, it's not that God had an issue about that. Once again, it's just, look, it's a personal choice. Then we talked about, yes, there were certain issues that God did have a beef about. Two men together, don't make a child. Two women together, don't make a child. Lesbian and homosexuality, God had a beef with. Hey, a woman making out with a horse or a dog, just don't make children. A man making out with a dog or a horse, don't make children. Or a cow, you don't make kids that way. So God had a problem with bestiality. Hello. But there was one other issue that God said would happen in the last days, and it is happening. You're noticing that women are drying up their breasts or not doing any breastfeeding. And what's worse is adult breastfeeding is also going down the way of the backwoods fence and no longer being done when it used to be done in the Bible days. Why? Because breastfeeding, adult breastfeeding, was a sign that you were fertile and that you were also able to not only take care of your children, but your family. and that you loved them. When you breastfed your husband, he knew that you loved him, that you wanted him near you. Solomon knew that his wife loved him because she wanted him to lay between her breasts all night. But how many women say that to their husbands now? No, she just turns over on her side and just goes to sleep and says, I don't care. How many husbands, oh yeah, some women complain about, oh, my husband wants, all he thinks about is my breasts. All he thinks about is women with their breasts. Why do you think men think so much about breasts? It's not that it's a breast thing. It's been that way for centuries because that is the way God meant it to be. If women would get back to the issue of knowing that adult breastfeeding was meant to be there as an intimate act between the husband, and notice I say this, husband and wife, and even that men can produce breast milk for his wife, that it be a nice sharing act between the two. And if it's between husband and wife, there is no chance of disease, such as AIDS, etc. So, that's just a stupid beef that most people have. So, my real issue comes down to this. When you have just one husband and one wife, or if it has to be multiples, but they keep it within the union of a marriage union, there is no problems. But when you go outside the marriage union, you take sex outside the marriage union where it was meant to be a pleasurable and beautiful act. That was supposed to be a pleasurable and beautiful act between the husband and wife that love each other, whether it's one mate or two mates that if it's one, a husband with one wife or two wives, or a wife with two husbands or one husband, no matter whether how it's set up, when they love each other and it's within the marriage union, and they are married, God has never had a problem with it as long as it stays within the marriage union. So the question becomes, are we going to stand for God's word, or are we going to stand for our own ways, our own traditions? So my question comes down to one last thing. Whose side are you going to be on? God's or your own? Lord Jesus, we ask you now to bless this message. We ask you now, Lord, as we give an invitation. First of all, Lord, for those who may not even know you, that they would come to you. Then, Lord, for those who are in some sort of marriage, that, Lord, you would use this message for you, for your honor, your glory, that you would touch it, Lord. Lord, we ask you just now that you would just use everything that has been said throughout all of these discs. Lord, we ask you that you would just now touch, bless, honor, and keep it. Help those that are in marriages, Lord. If they're starting to falter, that, Lord, you would use these messages, these words that you have spoken, not mine, but yours, that you would now bring forth your word, your conviction, that you would bring these people back together, and that, Lord, somehow, that you would just bless, and that, Lord, you would now bring conviction, that you would bring these people back together and make them stronger through this. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. I'd like to give this invitation to all of those out there right now who have been listening to this series of messages. First of all, to any of you out there who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus can and will save you. He don't care who you are, what you are, or what you've been. He will save you. Then secondly, I want to take and extend this invitation to those who are married couples. Married couples. If you've been struggling in your marriage, this is the time. This is the time to come forward and say, Lord Jesus, I've been struggling in my marriage. I don't need an extra partner or whatnot, but I've been struggling. We've been having problems. Every marriage has problems. But we need you, Jesus, to come in and be the head of this marriage. Because marriage was always meant for God to be first, the husband second, and the wife third. And then the kids. That's always been the way it's supposed to be. Then, for those men who think they're supposed to be a Hitler, no, you have a rule where you give guidelines, but you're not a dictator. And if you haven't been doing it that way, you need to come and get it right. You need to come just as you are. For you wives who think you're something special and trying to take over, you need to come just as you are and straighten it out. You're not the head of the home. A two-headed anything's a freak, belongs in a zoo. And then, for husbands and wives who have used sex as a weapon, as I have brought forth in these messages, both of you, if it's one or both of you, you need to get it right and come just as you are. And then, for a husband or wife who has not loved either one of you, that have not loved each other as Christ has loved the church and hasn't surrendered, and know that you should have come forward, and you know that you should have asked Jesus to love your mate as you love, if Christ has loved the church, you need to come forward just as you are and surrender it and say, Lord, I need to surrender this to you, Lord Jesus. And say, Lord, maybe I'm not doing what I can do. And if you know your mate is struggling because you yourself have a health problem, maybe you need to surrender that and come just as you are and say, you know, I'm being just selfish when I should be able to help my mate and love my mate as Christ has loved the church. Christ died for the church. He loved the church that much. He surrendered everything he had. The least you could do is surrender everything you have. And then, for those who are singles tonight that have been waiting for a mate, just like my good friend Tim Gruber, who's been waiting for a mate. You don't just jump into marriage willy-nilly. This is a time for you to come just as you are, asking Jesus to give you the love of your life. Because trust me, if you rush into it, you may end up with something you don't want. Trust me, I've been down that road. I know. I've been down that road, but you don't want that. You want God to give you the one that He wants you to have. Be praying about it. Ask Jesus. Come just as you are and ask Him to give you the love that He wants you to have. Just like Isaac was given his Rebekah, and I guarantee you that was the love of his life. That's what you want. You want your Rebekah. You want your Isaac. That's what you want. And then, like I said at the very start, for those who don't know Jesus, you want the love of your life. That's the love of your life. You want Jesus. Let me tell you something. You can never do enough good to save yourself. See, by the works of the law, that is, those good things. You remember those things we've been talking about throughout the message? The traditions of men. You can have your wrinkle-free suits. You could have your hair in every place. You could pay your tithe. You could do everything. But let me tell you something. You can't live the law perfectly. Don't believe me. How many of you have kept? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy effort, 24/7. You can't say your mind has always been on Jesus 24/7. Mine sure hasn't. And I guarantee you right there, you've broken the first of the Ten Commandments. Have you kept the Sabbath day, kept it holy? That is one day out of seven you weren't working? Did you keep it for just worship and for rest? No, you had to make a buck. You had to make a buck. And then, what about, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? Oh, well, I don't cuss. Oh, but yeah, you sure enough will sit there and lie when you get a chance, won't you? See, you may not kill, but you'll stab somebody in the back with your lying. How about thou shalt not covet? You sure want your 10%. You want your 10%. You want your 10%. So don't tell me that you want that you keep all the law. You can't. See, you can't keep all the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery or fornication. See, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. How many times have you stolen? Even if it ain't a physical thing, but you've stolen from your brother emotionally, your sister emotionally. You've hurt their feelings. Made them cry. You stole their tears. How about it? How about it tonight? Did you steal their heart? Did you steal them from them emotionally? Did you take a little paper clip and say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that? Yes, you stole, you dirty rotten scumbag. Did you go to the store and when you could get away with it, when the guy says, well, here's your change, and you saw he gave you maybe 2 or 3 cents wrong in change, you got a few cents extra in change, you said, oh, well, hey, his loss. Did you go back and say, hey, you gave me the wrong change? Hey, don't, be quiet. You sure enough didn't do that. You stole it. Because you coveted. You wanted that money. And hello, Dr. Broadbottom and all you student, you preachers, you sure enough coveted every Sunday when you pull out that tithe plate. You can't live the Ten Commandments. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do you get saved? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, it says very plainly, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Kind of got it backwards, but you get the idea. You could check it out, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And then what does it say furthermore? Romans 10, 13 makes it even more plain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You. Like I said, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, for whosoever shall call upon that, it says, it makes it plain. Call upon Jesus with your mouth. Believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus made it plain, the only way to get to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you can't get to heaven any other way. So there's no way and no sense pretending any other way. Now, I'm just going to say this finally this way. If you've been playing games on God, it's time to quit. Because if you are going to burn in an eternal hell. So just come to Jesus. Because he's broken and rebear your down now to thee thine. Yes, thine. Have you said this? Of God I come. I come. Have you? How about it tonight? How about it tonight? Did you say that to Jesus? Lord, I come. Did you say tonight, Lord Jesus, I come? I hope so. Because this is the night that Jesus said can be your night. This could be your night. This could be your night. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, I mean, it don't have to be flowery. It don't have to be fancy. The publican, all he did is smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It doesn't have to be fancy. So let us close in a word of prayer, and I do thank you for listening to this long, long message. But let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this long message. I thank you for taking us through this long, some might call it a sermon, but it's more of a very in-depth study on marriage, what you have to say on marriage, as well as sex, and what your word has to say about it. We thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for what you've brought to our attention. We thank you, Lord, that you've been involved in it the whole way. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your direction. We thank you, Lord, that throughout the whole process, that, Lord, your word has always been the mainstay of this message. And it's not our word, not my word, but, Lord, it's always been your word and your word alone. We thank you, Lord. We ask now, Lord, for all of those who have listened, that your word would touch their hearts. For those who are not saved, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to reach down and touch their hearts. It's not church, help them to understand, Lord, it's not church membership. It's not joining a church. It's not putting their name on some roll. It's not paying tithe. It's not getting baptized. It's not any of those things. Lord, what's more important is right now, Lord, them just coming to you and accepting you as their personal Lord and their personal Savior. Because, Lord, that's the most important thing tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Finally, I do want to say this is for those who may have questions about this message or series of messages, part one as well as part two. If anyone has any questions about this or would like to leave comments, they can contact me about these messages. Say if you're a lawmaker and would like to possibly think about making changes to the laws, or if you got questions or whatever, hey, you can email me because, hey, I happen to be a single fellow, a single married fellow. I'm not into, you know, I just have one wife and that's just the way it is. As of the recording of this in 2015, I'm happily married to one wife and that's the way it is. But anybody has any questions, they can write me at my email address and they can ask questions about this, because I have all the data that I used in creating this message, where I researched this. Of course, I took the time to research it to get God's word on it, all of that. So I took the time to get all this information. Anybody having any questions about this message, they could write me at my email address. I'm going to say it slowly here, and I'll give a letter, an associated word for each letter. There's no underscores or little dots or dashes in the email address. It's all just pushed together, lowercase letters. It's all the words feel n touch king at gmail.com. That would be F as in Frank, E as in elephant, E as in elephant, L as in Larry, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, O as in over, U as in umbrella, C as in cat, H as in Henry, K as in kite, I as in Indian, N as in Nancy, G as in Greg. Feel and touch king, then the at sign, Gmail, G as in Greg, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, I as in Indian, L as in Larry, and then the little period, and then com.com, C as in Carrie, O as in over, M as in Mary. Now, just so that I know you're not spamming, you're not a spam emailer or something like that, please use in your subject line so that I know you are, in fact, emailing me in regards to this message, etc. Please use in your subject line. For example, you can use a question regarding sex marriage, question regarding marriage message, question regarding sex marriage, you know, something like that. Question regarding sex and marriage message, anything like that. Or question regarding sermon. Any of those topics would work, okay? And then I will get your message and I will respond to you. However, if when I open your message, if it appears that you are obviously sending me spam email, it will be automatically deleted. So, if it's obvious spam, be warned, it will be thrown into the trash and your email address as well as your URL from where you are emailing will be blocked. So, be warned, I will block you. So, please be sure that you are sending legitimate requests because I am serious in being willing to answer legitimate requests about these messages because I am willing to help people who really want to know more about this message. But if you are not wanting legitimate answers to this question and this topic, I will block and spam you. So, once again, you can contact me at the email address feelntouchking@gmail.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.